May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I have to say, I had agreed that this week would be fine for Jackson to be baptized, and when I started reading the lessons, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, how am I going to relate these lessons to baptism? But actually, it was really easy, because these are powerful lessons. They really are. They tell us why we do choose baptism. It tells why Jackson's family is here today, bringing him to be baptized. The lessons tell us why we choose as best as we can to be obedient, why we choose true worship, why we choose to do our utmost to imitate Jesus and God we love. So what I'm going to do, I'd like to start with the collect. What did the collect teach us today? What did we just pray a couple of minutes ago? Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls. So we're asking for God's help because we know we need God's help. We can't do it alone. We know we need God's help if we're going to have growth. And then we ask God to keep us. In other words, to hold on to us really tight, to keep us within his hand, within his grasp, to keep us within his loving arms, to hold us tight where we are safe, where we are nurtured, where he's able to guide us towards growth, and where we know we are accepted and loved beyond all. We really cannot do it without God. And we need growth. Now, the Old Testament lesson is about the same thing, showing the need for growth with the Israelites and showing the need of God. Here's the first verse. From the wilderness of sin, I love that. From the wilderness of sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded them. Now let's think about the wilderness of sin. Actually, it's a good metaphor because sin and wilderness is the same. In the wilderness, it's kind of scary, very dangerous. Sometimes we're alone in the wilderness. It's very stressful and it's not very safe. And how about sin? When we are sinning, it's very scary. It's not safe. It is dangerous because we don't want to lose sight of our God. We don't want to lose the gift of eternal life, so we need to repent and return to him. And then it's not very pretty. It's not very peaceful. It's the ugliness of faithlessness to our God, who is our creator, our lover, and he does love us no matter what. Then, of course, I thought, what's the opposite of the wilderness of sin, or the sin of wilderness? And I came up with, well, how about the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve had sin? Obedience and the garden, just the opposite. Well, in a garden, and when we are obedient, there's abundance. We're able to relax and have peace in the arms of our God. When we're obedient, it's beautiful to God. He's pleased. And in a garden, it's beautiful as well. We are with God then, and all is at peace. But even so, like the Israelites in our lives, all of us are on a journey, each in our own stage of sin and growth. We're journeying with the Lord from sin to obedience, from the wilderness to the garden. And then we have a little bit of a why. St. Paul, he talks about God proving his love for us, how Jesus, how God is made acceptable to us, I mean accessible to us through Jesus. So I'd like to read that verse too. Actually, there's two verses. Towards the middle of the reading, it says, "Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then at the top, "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now let's consider that one little sentence that kind of rushes by sometimes. God died for us. God, Jesus died for the ungodly. Let's consider, would we die for anyone? Is there anybody at all that you would die for? I bet there are. Right in this church, there are people that we would be willing to give up our life for. But it gets harder. Would we be willing to give up our life for a stranger? Well, some do. The soldiers, EMTs, firefighters, the police. Would we be willing to give up our life for a thief or a murderer? Would we be willing to die for someone who abused us or cheated us or tried to kill us? Would we really be willing to die for that person? Well, it's a difficult lesson, sometimes a very confusing lesson. It's a difficult idea, but it's the truth of God. And it's hard to learn, it's hard to understand and accept, and it's definitely hard to follow. But God's love is beyond our understanding. It's incomprehensible. His love is all-knowing, it's perfect, it's unlimited, it's unconditional. And as Ginny read this morning, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. Then the other reason, which is a very powerful reason as well, to believe in God and to be baptized, like we're having today with Jackson, because it's by our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that God is accessible and that we have been reconciled back to God the Father. It is through Jesus' death, his resurrection, his willing sacrifice, and his love that we are saved. God's love is perfect, unlimited. It's for us, and it's eternal. Nothing can take that away from us. So why do we baptize? Because Jesus loved us, and Jesus tells us we're supposed to do that. And that's why we're here. So finally in the gospel, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but there's a couple of points that I think are very important. And of course we know the history of the Samaritans and the Jews. They did not get along, they didn't speak to each other, they had nothing in common, and each one thought the other was better than the other one. So they just did not mix. So I'm going to read the first little section here that I have marked. "A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman, a Samaritan?' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" Well, Jesus speaks not only to a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman, which was just not done. It was not socially acceptable. She would be considered the worst of the worst in society. Even she was surprised that Jesus spoke to her. She was astounded. But Jesus overlooks that. He just kind of blows that away. He doesn't even acknowledge the difference or her shock. Jesus went right to the point, and he said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, you would have said to me, 'Give me a drink,' and he would have given her living water." Who is the gift of God? We all know the answer. It's Jesus. Jesus is the gift of God. But another subtle message, but very important, that Jesus is teaching her, the Israelites, the Samaritans, his disciples, and even us, is by showing that not only is Jesus very willing to speak to her, but he is also very willing to have her even question him. And he is also very willing and even wanting to serve her. Remarkable. Jesus teaches her, all that were there that day, and even us and his disciples, that we are to go beyond the boundaries of society's norms. We are to focus on what God thinks and worry about what does God think of me, rather than, well, what does this person think of me? We are to begin to think more about or of how does God react? How does God think? What does God do? How does God treat others? What is God's love really all about? Well, then we see, still, how her thinking is just a little bit limited. Her understanding and her faith is growing slowly, and that's great, but she's still a little bit like a one-dimensional thought. It's still more about herself, because she says, "Well, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again or have to keep coming here to draw the water." So she kind of wants to get out of a little bit of work. And I don't blame her. I think we all do that sometimes. But the woman still realizes that Jesus is special. He is a prophet. And then she listens more and is beginning to accept Jesus very slowly as the Messiah. She says, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman says, "Well, I have no husband." And Jesus says to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' because you've had 5 husbands." Must have shocked the heck out of her. "And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Well, the woman says, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." Well, what happens next? There's a little bit of an interlude, and I won't go over it with the disciples, but she's listening and listening and decides to go back to the city and tell everyone. It says right here in the gospel, "Then the woman left her jar and went back to the city. And she said to the people, 'Come and see a man who has told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?'" So she's thinking and realizing. So they listen to her, and they go back with her to listen to Jesus. And then at the very ending of the gospel, "So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them." Now remember, that was not socially acceptable. "But he stayed with them for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. So they said to the woman who brought them there in the first place," thank God, "'It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.'" That will be the same
for Jackson someday. He comes here because his parents and his family believe in the Lord, and they want him to be baptized. But one day, Jackson will say, "I believe." He will say that on his own. And he will say, "I heard for myself, and I believe that Jesus truly is the Savior of the world." We all must individually make a personal choice to believe that Jesus is the Savior and to follow him as our Savior. There is no more powerful reason to be baptized than that. There is nothing more powerful than to know God's love for us. We are to believe in his love and live in his love.